Not long ago, I spoke with Questlove, hip-hop drummer extraordinaire of The Roots, about creativity. He said one of the most creative people he knows he met in high school is Roots co-founder Tariq Trotter.
The way that his brain thinks, I don't know any human being on earth that can absorb that much information and text in one go round. Listen close to my poetry. I examine this
like an analyst to see if you can handle it. Check it out. Trotter is best known as Black Thought. Tonight Show fans know him for his look: short brimmed hats, stark glasses, regal beard, and a smile that, while rare on stage, lights up the place. Despite 25-plus years as The Roots frontman and lyricist, Trotter hasn't really done a project without them. Until now. Yeah, the universe let the planets align. Spent 10K in the car, didn't decline. He's putting out a regular series of collaborations. They're called Streams of Thought. Volume 1 is out now. I asked him about the inspiration for the first song, which, true to form, nods at a literary great, Fyodor Dostoevsky, the novelist known for exploring pathological states of mind. Where I reside is the dark side of the glory. The fury I manipulate is the arc of the story. Written without a ghost writer, the author before me. This is crime and punishment. I'm the judge and the jury. Listen.
I was doing an interview with Barry Michael Cooper for New York Times. And he, you know, he said, like, I'm the Dostoevsky of hip hop. That sort of resonated with me, and it's something that I took to the drawing board. If every man's a temple, the circumstance is simple. So to be transcendental, I do enhance the mental. This is elder statesman conversation. Take a look into them books from down in the basement. Yeah.
This is also a song in which you reference being an elder statesman, right?
Yeah.
Take a look at the books in the basement. I didn't know if I'd get to the point where I'd get to interview rappers who had reached that point. It's good news.
Yeah, it's great news. I feel like I've been around for such a long time as a writer and as an artist that I need to sort of speak to the way that my perception of the world has sort of changed. With The Roots, we signed our first record deal when I was about 19 years old. So I'm a very different person than I was then.
Maybe a song like Thank You speaks to that a little bit.
I think so. Thanks for the memories. For first and third of the month, check deliveries. Agencies in the early 80s for giving cheese to families with parents who had drug dependencies. Mass jizz and storefront ministries. Dinner from the chicken lady, Miss Genevieve.
Forever. Now, I should say, some of this imagery, which is really lovely and lighthearted description of growing up, you grew up in Philadelphia, right?
Yes.
To give people context, you also have this very traumatic childhood. So when you talk about getting a record label signing at 19, this is after a lot had gone on in your life, right?
Absolutely, absolutely. Before the age of 2, I lost my father. He was murdered, a case that was never solved. My mother was also murdered, I think when I was about 16 years old or so. Her killer, I think, is serving a life sentence now. And by the time I was, 16 years old, I'd done a lot of growing up. But yeah, the song called Thank You, it's my way of saying that, as trying as the times may have been, the past is what makes me the person that I am today. So,
is that something you've come to recently? I mean, not that the music was ever really, really dark. I mean, there are rappers out there who basically are telling kind of gang life tales, right? Like, that's how they came up, especially like in the 90s with gangster rap. But for you, is it only recently that you found you can look back and say, okay, I'm okay?
Yeah, recently I feel like I've just come to terms with maturity and really more so with vulnerability. This unbroken token of appreciation for frequencies and stations, not keeping the people waiting, for players who support it, remaining completely patient, and each and every record in the basement. Listen, thank you. I think the true artist, musician, dancer, writer, actor, a true artist is able to sort of articulate pain and tragedy or whatever.
Right.
In a way that sort of expresses what the listener or, the beholder may have been feeling but was less able to communicate.
And that's sometimes discouraged in hip-hop in the past. I feel like now you hear more of it.
Yeah, I mean, it's traditionally, yes, hip-hop was sort of founded on the winner-takes-all concept, and you're not supposed to show chinks in the armor. I feel like only recently has it become okay and just like far more acceptable to represent your true vulnerable self. For me, I'm a super private person. To open up in the way that I have been in recent years has been cathartic in a way, but it's also been traumatic, I guess.
Oh, really?
I mean, you know, there's something to be said about a person who sort of lives life without letting that many people in, suddenly letting people in. Yo, Jimmy making fun of me. I'm human, and it's only one of me.
Now say, hold up, yo. How much does that have to do with this job you've had in recent years, right, as part of the house band for The Tonight Show, where you guys are on stage in front of America every night, and you have to crack jokes, and you have to crack a smile, and you have to be willing to laugh at yourself?
That actually probably has a lot to do with it. There is a certain part of, you know, almost every day that I live in levity.
Which
no
is
matter.
Funny, you're usually the straight man. Like, the camera cuts to you, and it's like sunglasses, beard, and I think the joke is just, will you crack a smile?
Yeah,
out of everyone on stage, can they make you smile?
But, I mean, you know, that the beard, the sunglasses, the hat pulled down low, that's all, you know, just layers of my veneer, how I sort of protect myself, I guess, you know? But, yeah, you know, I feel like this job has definitely made it far easier for me to open up and to show that sort of vulnerability and lightheartedness. They got a homegirl named Abby. Her last name is Kadabby. I showed her my
report card. She said, they got all types of cool kids there. You know, I've never asked you or never heard about your creative process. And being the lyricist for the group, how do you keep track of ideas? I mean, are you a person rapping into your smartphone? Are you a person taking notes on scraps of paper? How does it work?
The writing process for me is more like essay form. I'll read a book, I'll watch a documentary or a film or whatever. I'll go to an art exhibit and just try and open myself to influence. It's almost like going through a book with a highlighter. Like, songs sort of organically evolve and write themselves if you're in tuned enough to sort of listen, you know. But what I've learned not to do is to say, oh, I'm just going to make a mental note and I'll remember that later, because...
Oh, that doesn't work for you either?
It doesn't work. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
That's what you got to call the next one.
Nice.
The Lost Treasures of Trotter.
Yeah.
Like, all the music I forgot.
Trotter's Treasure Trove.
Well, Tariq Trotter, a.k.a. Black Thought, thank you so much for speaking with All Things Considered.
I'd like to thank you all for having me. It's always such a pleasure.
Black Thought, his new EP, produced by Ninth Wonder and the Soul Council, is called Streams of Thought, Volume 1.